Hey, welcome to Defying the Fight. We are in clearly a very big heat wave and hoping for some rain. But today joining me, I have an unbelievable mother who is an advocate for not only her child, but other children who may have experienced the same thing. Rosa Struby experienced a parent's worst nightmare is the best way that I can explain it. And I can only imagine the different steps of you pushing forth for shifting the laws, but then also too is also looking at your daughter, what she faced and the different steps towards healing at the young age of four. So Rosa, I really want to welcome you to the show and also thank you for your willingness to share your daughter Natalie's story.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, Ryan was on the show not too long ago and clearly he's overcome a lot of different trauma within his life. And now clearly you have as well. Let's talk about Natalie's story.
Yeah. So in 2018, Natalie was 4 years old. We had left her with Brian, our best friends, their kids. So we took them to the NDSU football game, and we had left Natalie and our son Lucas with their children ranging in age from 16 to 9. And we had no idea at that time that their 13-year-old son, just a few months prior, had been adjudicated in a different state for molesting his 3-year-old cousin. They didn't tell us. And about a week after that, Natalie disclosed that he had raped her multiple times in about 5 hours. We had absolutely no idea. She really didn't give any indication. When we picked her up from after the game, she was happy, her normal self, tired, a little withdrawn, but nothing that would have made us suspect. She didn't say anything, and we had no clue. You, of course, carry that guilt with you because you think, oh, I should have known, but how can you? That's something that Ryan and I both have had to work through. It was devastating, absolutely devastating. I feel like God had prepared me in his own way, I guess. One of my closest friends was a interviewer at the Red River Children's Advocacy Center, and I was doing daycare for her, and I had asked her months prior to this, like, what's one thing you wish parents knew? And she had told me, when a child discloses, I wish parents knew not to react. Don't cry. Don't get angry, because kids have this innate ability to turn that on. I've made mom cry. I've made dad mad. And so that's where a lot of guilt and shame comes in. So when Natalie disclosed, I knew to just tell her, thanks so much for sharing that with me. You're so brave. And then I went into another room and Ryan and I fell apart. It was awful.
I couldn't imagine. And then, too, you think of the strength of a 4-year-old. Usually kids will block things or not be able to understand really truly what happened. You know, because clearly a 4-year-old doesn't understand what the word rape is. You know, because I don't know what type of words, and I'm assuming it was like touched me, whatever that looks like. But for you inside listening to your child, I know for me, I have 2 boys. And if anything ever happened to my children, explaining on the show before, is like, I don't know how I would respond. And I'm not saying how I would respond to my child, but how I would respond to the perpetrator.
Yeah. So I actually, one of my first phone calls after she disclosed is I called his dad and I said, this is what Natalie's saying. What is going on? And he said, just call the cops. And so I did. I called 911 and I explained what had happened. And they sent an officer out to talk to Ryan and I. And the first thing that the officer said to Ryan before we had even told him the story was just reminding him, Natalie needs you here. If you go and do something, you'll be in jail and she won't have that support. And so that really hit home for Ryan because his initial thought was, I'll just go take care
anger
of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we just, it was awful. I mean, we flew to North Carolina. That's where I'm from. The next day, we had been planning this trip. And I had told Ryan, I was like, there's supposed to be a hurricane coming. Maybe we'll just delay this. But after she told this horrific story to me while playing with her dolls in her bedroom, she looked at me and she said, but in one more sleep, we go to North Carolina.
Aww.
And Ryan and I were like, yeah, we're going to go. We need to get away anyway. So we were gone for a week. And it was just a God thing to not only have that time to get away. But then when the detective called me, she was like, hey, we've got to get her in for a forensic. I said, absolutely, let's schedule this. We did it right away when we got back. But what happened was Natalie's case file went across this detective's case, Detective Connie Nickturn. And
I know Connie very well.
Oh,
she's an amazing human being.
Yes. And it wasn't supposed to. She wasn't supposed to get Natalie's case. And so she called me a few days later and she said, hey, actually, her case is supposed to be with another detective. And I said, well, no, I've spoken to other police officers and they've told me that you're the best and I want the best for my daughter. And I said, what do I do? And she said, well, you can call my superior. I said, okay, what's her number? And I called and I said, please don't make Natalie needs the best. And so Connie agreed to stay on her case. And when she spoke to this 13-year-old individual, she was so good at her job that he confessed to everything within a matter of hours. She wasn't even in there for very long.
Wow. Talking about testing and forensics, how does that work for Natalie at such a young age? You look at women, whether they're raped or sexually assaulted going in, this is clearly very different when you're looking from a child or an adolescent.
Yeah. So we went to the Red River Children's Advocacy Center. I can't speak about them enough. They're phenomenal. They did a forensic interview with a trained professional, and Natalie knew all of her body parts. She knew that the proper name for the male organ. She knew her proper names, which is so important. Don't give nicknames to your child.
I agree.
Private parts, because how is a teacher supposed to know that my uncle touched my cookie? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And so Natalie knew all of that. Then she did a forensic medical exam. And even though it had been about 2 weeks at that point, her body still showed signs of trauma. And it came out that her body was too small for him. And so he used other implementations. And so just awful. And of course, Ryan and I broke down. As we're being told all of this, and I looked at Connie and I said, well, what will happen now? And she said, well, North Dakota's least restrictive possible, nothing. It'll be very little. And I was like, well, that's not okay. And I said, what do I do? How do I change that? And she said, well, you can call your legislators and see if you can get a law passed, but that's kind of it. And she told me months later, she said, you know, I looked at you and as soon as I said it, that's not the first time I've told a parent that. And you're the first one that I was like, oh, crap, she's going to do it, which gave me so much respect. I mean, just for someone to respect me like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, from Connie, I just almost cried at that point. But we did. I called legislators until someone called me back.
You know, that floors me that there weren't protocols to follow. When they're saying nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing happens from a juvenile perspective because he was 13, correct?
Yep, he was 13. North Dakota's least restrictive possible. So he confessed to assaulting Natalie 3 times in 5 hours. And he was sentenced to a year of probation and outpatient therapy. She wasn't his first victim, which is even more frustrating. His psychosexual evaluation that they did showed that he was at moderate risk to reoffend. So that puts him at about a 70 to 80% chance of reoffending. And he went back to school after the interview because they couldn't legally arrest him.
Wow. We're going to go into a quick break though, Rosa, but when we come back, I want to talk about your push to the legislator, right? And then looking at what Natalie's law now has been put into place back from 2019. So we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Welcome back to Define the Fight. We're here with Rosa Strube, who is sharing her daughter's story. Natalie, talking about the gaps in the system when it comes to juvenile offenses with gross sexual assault.
Yeah.
Is really what it comes down to. Rosa, I don't know if you know that I've experienced different things in my past, from my freshman year of college to an unhealthy relationship. So I'm very aware of the different trauma that comes into place when you experience an event from another individual, right? So looking at the laws or the lack thereof laws, you became a huge advocate for Natalie and other children who have experienced the same thing. Let's talk about the steps it took starting from September of 2018 to get Natalie's law passed in 2019.
Yeah. So I called my legislators. I was a constituent, and so I called all of the legislators in my district. There were 4, and only one called me back. His name was Ben Koppelman, and I don't know what we would have done without him. He came in, and at first I think he thought, okay, this is just a mad mom, and I get it, but I'll talk to her. And then when we spoke, we met with juvenile court, and after that meeting, he looked at me and he said, I don't know which strand to follow here. They're so bad, because no one from legislation had been in juvenile court since 1961. None of the GSI law or gross sexual imposition laws had been even looked at. And he just couldn't believe it. So we sat down and he said, what are your goals here? And I told him, I said, you know, one, I want support for the offender's family. I said, it's so strange to me that social services doesn't get involved in something like this when the offender is a juvenile and there are other juveniles living in the home. I said, that doesn't make any sense. And he agreed. And so that's one thing that changed is social workers now can get involved and they'll do an assessment now to see if the juvenile needs to be removed from the home for the safety of the other children or if a safety plan just needs to be put in place, which is huge. How do you expect those parents to know what to do? And then when we were in the courts, when we were going through the adjudication process, I didn't know much because you don't want to ask your child, hey, what happened? Where did it happen? Right. It causes more trauma. And so I had requested for the police report. I just wanted to read the police report. I wanted to know what triggers I needed to stay away from. I requested them, and the first time I requested them, the judge denied my request. It's odd to me because the offender's parents get access to all of that because they're allowed to represent him in court. And so I requested it for a second time, and that time I was able to get that police report, and I read through it. And I'm glad that I did because as awful as it was and as hard as it was to read it, I understood what we needed to stay away from because she's four, mm-hmm. and she can't verbalize that herself. And so part of Natalie's law is guardians of the victim have the same access to information. You still have to request it in writing, but it cannot be denied to you. The reason we put it that you have to request it is not everybody just wants to be handed that.
Right.
Some people don't want to know, and that's okay. I mean, it's all about how you cope. For me, the more information I had, the better off I was, and that was my coping skill.
Well, you had mentioned, too, that you didn't want certain triggers to set her off, but at the same point, too, you were also able to set up an action plan for healing.
Yes. Yep. And when I say that, I mean, we were on a drive. We were downtown Fargo, and we passed Island Park, and Natalie started to hyperventilate. I didn't know why. Her big brother was awesome. He, you know, held her hand until I could get pulled over to help her. I mean, it was awful. I've never seen a true panic attack before. Well, it ends up one of the times that he raped her, she was facing a park. And so my four-year-old couldn't go to the park. And it was awful. And so I needed to know that information to protect her.
100%.
And so, I mean, yeah, it was just huge. I mean, and then on top of all of the other stuff, they were sharing the police report with people. I couldn't believe that it wasn't illegal. I cannot say his name because it is illegal.
Right.
But they can share the police report. Her name is all over it. Just dumbfounded. I was just dumbfounded. And so now that's a Class B misdemeanor. You cannot share that information. I mean, we went public with her story. Mm-hmm. Had we not, we don't want people to know all of that.
There's a level of protection.
Yes, it's personal. So we made it so that you can't share that information anymore.
I can't believe, though, that the parents were able to see the report and you weren't able to see from your daughter's perspective, because you look at health insurance or liability waivers or whatever comes into play for somebody who's under the age of 18, you always have the parent sign off if they are not of age. And I can't believe they wouldn't release the type of trauma so that you had, like you said, had a better understanding of what she experienced so that you're not putting her through or reliving that event again.
We were blown away by the secrecy that is in juvenile court, especially when it comes to gross sexual imposition, when it comes to rape. The judge was joking with the offender in court. Oh, you can't have access to the internet. That means no porn for you. Couldn't believe it. Oh, yeah. The referee that was over this case was so offensive. He just kept calling Natalie the 4-year-old victim. He wouldn't refer to her by name. So I gave him a picture, and she's a blue-eyed, blonde little girl who is 4 years old, and this horrible thing. Like, I want you to know that she is a person. It just, yeah, he was awful. He was absolutely awful. Super unprofessional, in my opinion. Not even the sentencing, because I know that was state law, but his own demeanor. It made us, as the parents of this little victim, feel like she didn't matter.
Like she was a number, a stat.
Just a number. Just a number. And it didn't matter that he did this awful, awful thing to her.
I couldn't imagine what you guys went through listening to what Natalie shared with you. But then getting hit again by saying that nothing is going to happen, to him going right back to school, mm-hmm. to now being an advocate, pushing and fighting for a law, fighting for children, and also fighting for the parents of the victims. That's a lot of stress on top of trying to cope with your own emotional state.
Yeah, it took a toll on our marriage. Ryan and I were divorced for 2 years. We're remarried now, but it took us separating to heal separately before we could come back together. It was just awful. I mean, I don't have any other words than it was absolutely terrible.
What were some of the different strategies that you implemented for yourself to heal, but then also too, seeing Natalie at age 4, she's now 12, and she's going to be joining us here shortly. Talk about courageous, mm-hmm. talk about resiliency and being a true fighter. I couldn't imagine being that age, and I know she's also helped other kids speak about the events that they've experienced to counselors, which is huge because, you know what, she's stepping into a leadership role without even recognizing it.
Yeah, my kid's amazing.
She is.
She is. She's absolutely amazing. She's my hero. I can't imagine having something so horrendous happen. And she remembers every detail. I wish she didn't, but she does. And to be able to move forward, and she's happy.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people let their trauma be their crutch. Mm-hmm. And when Ryan and I, when she told us, we sat down a couple nights later and I said, she's not a victim anymore. She's now a survivor, and that's how we will treat her. This will not be her crutch. And that's how we've raised her. She's just super strong. She's very resilient. I just wish that all parents knew the stats and the education behind a disclosure and how to handle it. Don't cause more shame.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to me. I had people reaching out to me, and one mother messaged me and she said, you know, this thing has happened to my son. And I said, well, did you report it? And she said, well, no, it's we're not going to do that. And I said, well, then I can't help you.
Right.
I mean, I would move heaven and earth to help my daughter through this. And you're not even willing to report it. Reporting is so important. I know Ryan has a difference of opinion. He says he would probably handle it differently now, knowing what was going to happen. However, I think that what happened to Natalie, as awful as it was, it changed a state forever.
100%.
So, and I mean, we had people who would come up and ask to speak to her. Everyone was very kind, but they, adults who said, hearing her story made me go and see a counselor because I never told anybody what happened to me. And so I think her story affected so many, and it still does. I mean, with her law implemented, they can arrest an offender, a juvenile offender now, when he confesses to something so egregious. He doesn't just get to go back to school. If he had stolen a car, he would have been arrested. But because he only raped my daughter 3 times, he was able to go sit back with other students. And that is the most infuriating part of it all, is he got to continue his normal life and Natalie had to suffer with nightmares.
Well, hers was broken.
Yep.
You know, I couldn't imagine the fact of people that you trust, and they didn't, release the information that their son had just gotten in trouble.
Yep.
Clearly, you guys would have made a different decision or choice that night where your daughter wouldn't have been staying and son wouldn't have been, you know, babysat by him. But at the same point, clearly Natalie has looked at it and she has stepped into this identity, into this warrior young woman. And she is going to have such a deep impact, and has already, on more women and children than you know. And for you to say, this is not okay, to step up and put your love, your time, and your energy to actively pursue changing a law. I can't give you enough kudos, and kudos isn't the word, but I'm very proud of you for being an advocate and stepping into that, because you didn't have to. You chose to, and that law changed because of you in April of 2019 and passed 47-0. Far too often, laws are not reviewed because, oh, the system is working. There's nobody who has raised their voice. Until somebody raises their voice, change will not occur. And you chose to rise. So I want to thank you for being an advocate, not only for Natalie, but for other individuals and children that will at some point in their life potentially face this. We're going to go into a quick break, Rosa, but when we come back, we're going to have Natalie come in. She's not going to share her story. She is going to show how she is a warrior and is moving through life with unbelievable courage. We'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Welcome back. We are here with the national cheerleading champion, Natalie Strube. Talk about fighting. You know, I've fought in a cage, I've fought in the ring, and I've fought in life. I have never had to face a fight that you have at such a young age, but to have a powerful voice and to help other kids, encouraging them to share their stories to get help. Natalie, when I found out that you're going to be on the show, right, when your mom's like, I can bring Natalie with, there's a lot of emotion, but there's a lot of excitement. And I don't think you recognize to the extent that the path that God has laid out for you. And it's very, very important for you to understand that you've already left impact on so many lives already at a very, very young age. And you're only going to be stepping into a stronger purpose as you grow. You are a role model for many kids, but also for many women who have the fear to share their story. And I know that you're going to help other women rise. So thank you for being willing to come on the show today. I wanted to ask you a couple questions here though, Natalie. Now you, as you've grown, you identify what things are triggers or kind of set you off, but then also two different coping strategies. How long did it take you to recognize or become aware? Yeah, that's a trigger. That's not a good thing for me, or I know what I'm going to feel from that.
That's a tough question, but I feel like it kind of just like came and like it was like I.
So do you know different things that can be triggers for you?
Yes.
Yes. Do you want to share a couple or do you prefer not to?
Prefer not to.
Okay. So what are some different coping things that you've learned from a young age until where you're at now? So whether it's counseling, is it journaling? What are some different things that have helped you?
Probably counseling and like just taking deep breaths.
Okay. Now, have you had multiple counselors from age 4 to 12 or have you had the same counselor?
I've had the same counselor.
Awesome. And what has she taught you or how has she helped you in this journey?
She just like helped me take like breaths and like calm down and like remember that I have like a whole nother like 20 years and then I can like think like that I can be myself.
Yeah, 100%. And you are yourself and you are stepping. So sometimes when people experience trauma, they can go very quiet. They can isolate. They just kind of remove themselves from being seen. But clearly you have been very courageous and have stepped into a lot of different things. So what are some of the activities that you are currently involved in school?
Well, I go to my mom's theater practices and then I do competitive cheerleading. And yeah.
So what are some of your big picture goals for you, Natalie?
Just like, what was the question?
So what are some of your goals? So you're in competitive cheer.
Yeah.
What are some other things that you want to try as you get older?
I want to try football.
That a girl?
I feel like that would be fun. And I also want to do wrestling.
I think those would be great sports. And you know what? The thing is, when you look at wrestling, that's a one-on-one. And that's where you're like, okay, the only person that I can blame or cheer on is myself when it comes to the one-on-one. But football, good for you. I love that. Your mom said that you're one heck of an athlete and definitely clearly a warrior and a fighter where it's like, okay, challenge me and I'll do more. Fair?
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you talk about triggers and things like that, Natalie is one that when she recognizes that, hey, this is bothering me, she not only vocalizes it, but then she will work towards making it not bother her anymore. So she just takes it head on.
That's awesome. Do you ever just say, I need to pause when you notice that something's coming up? So you communicate right away with your mom if she's by you?
Yes.
And then at that point, you're like, I just need some time?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. I think communication, adults really struggle with communication. But when you're 12 and you're able to vocalize, this is what's going on, that is a big piece of healing. But also when you look at children to adult, it's amazing that you're already stepping into that. Now, you have a couple of kids or young girls or boys, whomever you have spoken to at school. Have they approached you on some different things or different events that they've experienced?
Not really.
Not really. Rosa, you want to add in on this?
Yeah. So sometimes it'll come up. Natalie isn't shy about sharing that she has a law. She's actually quite proud of it. And so then other children may talk to her a little bit about things that are happening in their lives. And Natalie is great about saying, oh, you should tell somebody, or you should ask your mom and dad if you can see a counselor. She's really good about advocating for them as well as herself. And so we've been really, really proud of her.
That's big shoes, and it's hard. And I think that's really challenging for most kids, is because they don't want to get the potential adult in trouble or the other kid in trouble. And I think it's important to be able to identify the difference between right and wrong and saying, okay, hey, this person did something that was not a good thing, and it's best that you make sure that you share it with an adult. Fair?
Yes.
Yes. Rosa, I want you to kind of chime in on some of these things. So she had mentioned, Natalie mentioned breath work and counseling. What are some of the other practices that Natalie has incorporated into her healing journey?
Well, she hates journaling.
as I give her a journal this morning, that's great.
She likes to, she'll flip through it, but she hates journaling. But things that really help her is she likes to be very active, get those endorphins. So she works out, she weightlifts, she does all of that fun stuff. I don't know how she's my kid. But she also talks about it. For her, would you agree that keeping it bottled up hurts you more than it helps you?
Yes.
Yeah. So she will talk to either a friend or me or her dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt or uncle. She doesn't mind saying, hey, this is what's bothering me and I just need to talk it through. She's really good at putting out boundaries as well. So for instance, we went to a new church and this gentleman didn't mean anything by it, but came and, you know, touched her on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And she was very good about saying, oh, I don't like being touched. And he was like, oh, okay, no problem, you know. But she's very good about putting those boundaries into place, which I don't even do that. So, again, my hero. So we're learning from our children every single day.
I think we look at the generation, too, where clearly there's a lot of digital components that come into play. But they've got a different viewpoint where clearly you went in to create change by having Natalie's Law come into play, where sometimes like, well, this is the way it's always been and this is the way that it needs to stay, instead of what are better options that we can put into play here, or what is a better way of doing it? And just because somebody's been in a higher position for a longer period of time doesn't mean that it should stay the same.
No, I agree 100%. When it comes to internet safety, we're very clear about, are with our kids, the rules. Are you allowed to give your age, your name, where you live?
No.
And when it comes to Roblox, I mean, that is one of the biggest ones, that and Snapchat. I mean, it's a predator's playground.
Yeah.
It's been proven time and time again. So I don't understand why parents aren't monitoring more. I don't know if it's because they're just not interested or they have their own issues that they're dealing with. But I think that we as guardians should be stepping up
What are some of the different social media? Do you have a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. And what are some of the different social medias that your mom allows you to have?
Snapchat, but she gets to like check it and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I have YouTube and I have Instagram and I have Be Real. And
you got a few, girl. You've got more than me.
She's famous.
I have one TikTok, but my mom won't let me.
Smart woman. Smart woman. Now, when you are on social media, just talking about boundaries and level of protections, you don't have your locations or anything like that on, do you, on those,
no,
those media
No, I'm not allowed to.
Okay. Okay. What are some things that your mom has taught you or you've learned in school when it comes to making sure that you stay safe if you have those apps?
That you just don't add random people that you don't know. Only add the people you know that from like school and like from like whatever sport you do.
100%, because there are people that clearly pose as kids. You want to make sure that if you don't know the person, they're not added. And keeping everything private mode too makes a huge difference. We're going to go into a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be meeting with Rosa and Natalie more about, hey, encouragement, mindset, and if you've ever had your child experience something or you have, what are some good action steps to move forward? So we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Hey, welcome back. We're here with Natalie and Rosa Strube sharing different areas that no parent ever wants to experience for their child, but then also too, how to become advocates for your children to listen, to understand, and also pay attention to the signs. With Natalie's law, clearly, you know, when you look at a state, understand what the laws are for juveniles. And there's no reason why we have to wait to look to see what they are. We can create change prior to anything happening. Now, Rosa, you had mentioned the key for parent involvement and understanding. And with experiencing this, what are some key points that you'd want to share?
Being able to recognize, educating yourself, really, what does grooming look like? Yeah. Should I be concerned? I mean, parents, a lot of parents will think, oh, it's going to be a stranger, or the school teacher, or the janitor, but typically it's a family member, someone that you trust and you love. So being aware of that, also being aware that you need to have open lines of communication. So if your kid is trying to talk to you about something mundane, just listen. I know we are busy, but listen anyway, because the important stuff can come from the mundane. Having those open lines of communication. Don't just shoot them down. I think that's super important. Be involved. Know who their friends are. Know who they're talking to. Go through their phones. You're their mom and dad. Like, go through their phones. There's so much information on there that they may not be sharing with you that you need to be aware of. Know who they're texting. Know who they're talking to at school. If they say that, hey, I have to stay late at school today, why? Who will you be with? Confirm it. It doesn't hurt anything, but it does show that you love them and that there are boundaries in place and that you're not just going to let them do whatever they want to, because it's when you aren't involved that really horrible things can happen. I mean, they can happen when you're involved too, but especially when it comes to social media, be involved.
Well, and behavioral patterns.
Yes.
Watch for different behavioral shifts. Because those are also key indicators. If your child is usually out in the living room with you, having conversations, very vocal, and then all of a sudden now they're isolating in their bedroom, or you see emotional shifts,
yep,
ask. And yes, sometimes there's going to be shifts when it comes to the whole hormonal changes, whether it's a female or a male, it happens. Mm-hmm. But we also, like you said, Pay attention.
I mean, if you're a daughter who used to love to wear shorts and tank tops outside, all of a sudden is putting on weight, chopping her hair off, and wearing sweatshirts everywhere, ask why.
100%. Now, you had also had mentioned different things with, there was different ways when Natalie had shared with you how to respond, how to react. But what are some of the things that you've learned to open that door for a child that might not want to share?
Natalie's easy. We do have a good relationship. She is very open, but that's been a work in progress. For children who don't want to share, just keep trying. Don't push it. Don't say, oh, I want to know this. Like, don't do that. That's just going to hurt them more. But listen, like I said, listen to the mundane. A lot of times when they're talking about their school day, they start to feel more and more comfortable with mom, dad, teacher, uncle, grandpa, whoever it is. And that's when they're like, oh, and by the way, my friend touched me here the other day. Is that okay? I mean, things like that is the mundane is where it's at. Yeah. It's the boring stuff that we as parents get so caught up in our busy work lives on our own social media and phones that we kind of push them away. And you have to be there. You have to have game night. You know, open up those doors of communication. Talk about sexual abuse. Talk about what is okay and what is not okay. Be open. Use the proper names for your genitalia.
100%. You know, and that's the thing is, too, is like when I was talking to my kids, and yes, I'm going to say it on the radio, it was people would use different words for male anatomy. I'm like, that is your penis.
Yep.
That is what it is, right? Because this is human anatomy. Natalie, I want to understand or learn a little bit, like, what are some advice that you would share with kids that may have experienced something but fear? They're scared to share, or, you know, what is some words of motivation or encouragement for them?
That you got this, and just believe in yourself, because if you believe in yourself, you can do anything you want.
And communication is really key. So what is what, you know, when you're talking about, yes, you've got this, fear is real, right?
Yes.
And do you notice that a lot of your friends sometimes they have, even if it's a fear of a different conversation outside of an event, that it sits there? What would you say about fear?
It's okay to be scared and like have fear, but just to know that you don't always have to be scared, that you can just like you just
like push through.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's people there that are, you know, really wanting to support and help you. Right. So it's okay to share with an appropriate adult.
Yes.
Whether it's your counselor, whether it's a teacher, your parents, whoever it may or may not be, that they're there. They love you and they want to help you.
Yep. I think sometimes we are all afraid of something and we feel very alone. And that's when those moments of your tribe, you know, those people that you choose to be a part of your life come in so into clutch. Like, you have to have those people that you can trust.
100%.
Including as a child.
Yeah. Now, what is the best way if somebody in this area, their child has experienced something, or, you know, they're working through the storm? What is one line that you would say, this organization is amazing with children and with us? Who would you say for that?
Absolutely, the Red River Children's Advocacy Center. They were a huge support to our family. They offered free counseling to Natalie as well as to our son, who is considered a secondary victim. They were there to listen to Ryan and I. I mean, there were days where I would call and just needed to talk to somebody that I could be angry with. And they were fine with it. Like, here you go. Yell at me all you want. And that's what we did. I mean, they're phenomenal. Report. Statistics show that it's much higher when it comes to child sexual abuse than what is reported. Report it. It should not be handled within the family. That is absolutely insane. We have to bring these monsters out into the light. And if you continue to hide it, you're just helping them.
100%. When you look at it from a juvenile perspective, too, we don't know what that child who was the perpetrator has experienced in his life or her life, and they need help. They need help. You know what? I want to thank you guys for having the courage to come on today, for being an advocate, Rosa, Natalie, for sharing and helping other kids release their fear and step forward in faith. Now, Rosa, you wanted to mention you've got something coming up in Barnesville, too.
Yes. So the Barnesville Community Theater is putting on a musical. It's called Come From Away. It's about 9/11 and how people who were in the air got stranded in Gander, Newfoundland. My character, it's all true. Her name is Hannah, and her son is a firefighter in New York. And through the whole thing, she's just trying to get a hold of him. It's $10 cash at the door. It's at the community, or what is it called, Natalie, the PAC, the Performing Arts Center at the high school. Natalie has been to every practice. She knows every song. Could probably perform with us.
Well, that's good. That's awesome.
Yes. But yeah, we'd love to have everybody.
You bet. Well, again, I want to thank you both. A, for implementing and getting Natalie's law passed, but Natalie, too, it's like I said, you're a warrior and you have so many different things that you're going to change lives. And that's what it's all about. So thank you for joining me today on Define the Fight.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You got it. Until you define your fight, how do you expect to win the fight? And it's your fight to win. Until next week, have a good one.